I'll order this hearing of the Minnesota Senate Taxes Committee, Tuesday, May 7, 2024, 8:39 a.m. First order of business is consideration of the minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved as presented. The first bill we're dealing with is Senate File 4985. The bill came to us from Judiciary, but it is not in our jurisdiction, so we're just going to have Senator Westland more or less read the title, and then we're going to move it on to Finance, where it where it will be heard next. Senator Westland, welcome to the committee. If you would just give us a very brief description of the bill, you don't have to go through it, and then we can send you on your way. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's so nice to see you again. It's been a while.
What?
I said it's so nice to see you again. It's been a while. A little gallows humor, sorry.
Right. That's okay.
I'm very salty.
Senator Westland and I sit next to one another on the floor of the Senate. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Rest and committee members. The bill before you is a direct response to the May 2023 unanimous decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in Tyler v. Hennepin County case. This ruling deemed Minnesota's tax forfeiture laws unconstitutional due to violating the takings clause of the Constitution. The purpose of Senate File 4985 is to remedy this issue and bring us into compliance with the requirements of the Constitution. While drafting this bill, there have been extensive conversations with stakeholders, including the Association of Minnesota Counties, Legal Aid, the Judiciary Branch, Constitutional Scholars, and the Department of Natural Resources. This bill addresses the concerns raised in the Tyler decision while preserving many aspects of existing law that make Minnesota's property laws responsive to property owners. It also makes a public auction mandatory when a claim for surplus proceeds is filed in order to pay out any excess proceeds to the property owner. And it creates a process to ensure that excess proceeds on minerals are not retained in violation of the takings clause. This bill addresses the urgency of rectifying the recently deemed unconstitutional forfeiture system and aims to maintain transparency and fairness throughout the process for all.
Thank you very much. Senator Klein moves that Senate File 4985 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those say no. The motion prevails. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much, Senator Madam
Westland.
Chair.
The second bill on our agenda is Senate File 3886, Senator Hofstra. Senate File 3886 is before us, and Senator Housechild has an amendment. Did we hear this bill before?
Yes, Madam Chair,
okay,
we've heard this
so
bill
we
before.
Do. Senator Housechild moves the A5 amendment. It is no longer an author's amendment. So, what? Oh, yes, thank you for reminding me. Senator Housechild moves that Senate File 3886 be taken from the table. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. We now have Senate File 3886 properly before us, and Senator Housechild offers the A5 amendment. This one, you're going to have to go through for us, Senator Housechild.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Tax Committee. We did hear this bill before. This is one of, I think, the top priorities this legislative session to address the deep concerns we have with the crisis for rural ambulance services in Minnesota. This amendment that I'm presenting to my bill is the work of bipartisan agreements between members of the EMS task force, including Senator Lang, Senator Rasmussen, myself, and Senator Seeberger. So I'm really proud of that work and really grateful for the folks across the aisle that worked with us on this bill. I've talked a lot about this issue, so I probably don't need to go too much into it, but I do want to just point out the unique rural situation that we face with this issue. Many of the EMS licenses in the metro area are making money, and a predominant amount of the greater Minnesota licenses for rural ambulance are losing money. If you combined all of the licenses across the state, it's actually making money. So what this aid is meant to do is really target where we feel the aid is needed most for many of the licenses that are trying to get by to serve their communities. The reason this is a uniquely rural issue really quickly is because our population is both decreasing and aging in greater Minnesota, resulting in more needs for ambulance services. We have a decreasing population and decreasing workforce. We have a lack of Medicare reimbursement rates that are keeping up to pay for the services like they should. That rate has not been increased for many years. And the worst of it, in my opinion, is we have local rural communities, small communities, less than 1,000 people in many cases, taking on these licenses as a last resort in order to provide life-saving care to their communities. Whereas in other areas, it's a private hospital, it's a nonprofit, it's another entity where it's not taxed on the local community members. And so it's really just this double whammy of a lack of profitability and a tax on the local citizens. So I'll walk through the delete all amendment and explain kind of what we've done here. Section 1, subdivision 1 is just some definitions. Subdivision 2 is excluding services, including, you know, ground and air ambulance services. Subdivision 3 is really important. What we did here is we made it so that if a single entity or subsidiary has more than one license, for the purposes of calculating this aid, we combined their license into one license. So there's many examples of this kind of thing, but we wanted it for the purposes of this calculation to make sure we understood the one license, and then we calculated
Senator
their
Rochelle,
yes.
Is that like an I've seen the one of your runs on it, so that the North ambulance is in 20 counties in Minnesota, besides the one at North Memorial. Does that mean that they are considered one and they're affiliated? Is that one license in looking at the run, or are they separated in terms of what their how the formula that you all have derived is going to be applied?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And just maybe I could clarify kind of the way this multiple licenses is produced. So what it does is it makes it so that if it's within the metro area or in regional centers, Duluth, Mankato, Moorhead, Rochester, and St. Cloud, those are excluded. So it's really talking, you know, it combines all of those for those. But if it has a more rural service, then it might count those multiple licenses.
I see. So, does that? So North Ambulance, that's why it shows up 10, 12 times, because it is outside of the, as are some others, outside of the rural, outside of the metro area, but it also can have more than one affiliate participating in EMS services.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And then we move to eligibility. We want to make sure they possess a license in 2022, continue to operate in 2024, and then complete the requirements as described in the next subdivision. So they apply for the aid through the DOR commissioner and copy the EMSRB. The commissioner and the EMSRB established the process for verifying the data. This was really a safeguard originally in my bill to just make sure that we're verifying the information. Then the formula kicks in. So 20% of the available appropriation is divided among eligible providers, but it excludes licensed services located mainly in the seven-county metro area or portions of a PSA in some of the larger metros outside of the Twin Cities. Then 40% of the available appropriation is appropriated based on a formula for square mileage of the PSA. Licenses must have a response density of 30 responses per square mile or fewer. The idea here being that the less dense you are, the less money you're making. So it's kind of our indication of that. 40% of the available appropriation is based on the based on a point system of the number of runs. And so we did that so that there wasn't a cliff. And so it goes by 500, 1,000, 1,500, and it just makes sure that we're calculating sort of an even amount as that goes up. It favors lower volume rural systems, just like the rest of this bill. The aid amount in Subdivision 7 requires the commissioner to make aid payments to those eligible. Subdivision 8 requires the dollars to be spent on operational expenses, capital expenses, and it must be within the PSA and within Minnesota. Subdivision 9 is the administration. The aid must be certified by the commissioner by December 1st, 2024. The full aid payment must be made by December 26, 2024, which is aligned, Madam Chair, with LGA. And the funds not spent or encumbered for eligible use by December 31st, 2025 must be returned to DOR. Subdivision 10 is a report to the commissioner and legislative chairs by February 15th, 2026 on how the funds were used. And then Subdivision 11 is the appropriation of $120 million with DOR retaining $60,000 for administrative costs. And Madam Chair, that is the amendment.
So Senator Housechild, on Subdivision 10, where it asks for a report to the tax committees, primarily here, and it says how they're used the aid. What do you have in mind there? I mean, I haven't read the internal part of them. What can they use it on, I guess, that they would then make their report from?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the question. We are talking about operational expenses, so that could be anything from workforce pay.
So it could be wages or salaries?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Madam Chair.
And anything having to do with equipment?
Or? Yes, equipment and capital are also included as eligible uses.
Are included. So
yes.
Purchase of ambulances if they need to and what they need to run them.
Yeah, and thank you, Madam Chair, for that point. And I guess I would just say from my vantage point, I think it's really important that those uses are available. Oftentimes, some of the biggest sunken costs, particularly for those services that are not getting an operational revenue that's keeping up, if they have a huge sunk cost of a new ambulance or some really expensive equipment, that can really, you know, sink a license holder. So I think making sure that we give the flexibility to these license holders to say, what do you specifically need? Maybe it's workforce in Tower, but it might be an ambulance in, you know, Otter Tail County.
Okay, is the $120 million a wish amount, or is it committed from somewhere or somebody?
Madam Chair, the $120 million was an evaluation done by many, many stakeholders who determined that that was the amount that services are in the red that are losing money. I think the negotiations are ongoing for what the amount will ultimately be.
Okay. So those are my questions. Thank you very much for your working with other legislators on these issues. It was one certainly that we were very aware of in the at the beginning of this session, and the dire need for that. So, questions or comments, Senator Weber?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One question concerning the disbursement of funds. Are there
services that are making money that will receive assistance through this bill.
Senator Housechild.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Weber for the question. That information is private information at the EMSRB, but we have done, I would argue, everything we could do in this formula to target the aid where it's needed most. And I think we've really done a good job at that. In fact, we were working yesterday on excluding some services that we noted were possibly profitable. So we've really done our due diligence to create a formula that I think gets at the targeted areas that it's needed.
So the books aren't going to be open to them, but
right.
But they know how to make good estimates. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And one last question. Noting here, I assume that the whatever the final amount is just coming off the surplus and to be transferred to the commissioner at that point. Is that correct, Senator Housechild?
Madam Chair, Senator Weber, when you say the surplus, are you talking the general fund surplus?
Yes.
Madam Chair, Senator Weber, I believe that would be the case, but again, those negotiations are ongoing, and I don't want to. It's entirely possible that it could come from another place.
Gotcha. Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Drazkowski.
Madam Chair, I think Senator Klein was before me.
Senator Klein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Housechild. I'm just trying to figure out in the amendment compared with the original bill we heard last time, the role now of the EMSRB. You mentioned them. They're called out specifically in your original bill in Subdivision 7. The chief executive would sort of approve these payment amounts, but they're not mentioned at all in the A5. Is there a continued role for the EMSRB in oversight of this process under your amendment, Senator Housechild?
What section did you say that was in? In the bill?
In the original bill, Madam Chair, Subdivision 7.
I see. Okay. It's page 2, line 24, 6 and 5 and 6.
Madam Chair, Senator Klein, I'm looking at Subdivision 5, and you're right to say that the EMSRB is not mentioned in there. Well, it does. So under B, under Subdivision 5, it says the commissioner and the executive director of the board, when we say board, we mean the EMSRB board, must establish a process for verifying the data submitted from the applications.
Yep.
So that would be their engagement.
That's on page 1, line 8, where it's defined.
Thank you, Chair.
Is that it? Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Housechild. Senator Housechild, I'm impressed by the way that you've targeted in this bill to make certain that it's going to where it needs to go. Certainly, you might have more ideas or others might have more ideas, but good job on that. I'm just wondering the trajectory of this bill, where it's going, and is there going to be a marrying with the here's how we fix the rural ambulance service policy that y'all are working on, so we, for instance, don't have to have the driver of the ambulance have full credentials and everything. What's happening there, and are they going to be married together or running separately, or what's happening?
Senator Drazkowski, this bill is traveling on its own as per the target agreement. It's not going to become part of any omnibus bill at all, as I understand the governor's direction for it. Is that correct? And if you would expand on that in your answer to Senator Drazkowski, Senator Housechild.
Thanks, Madam Chair and Senator Drazkowski. I certainly feel a need for us to address the EMS crisis from multiple angles, including the aid that I have produced, as well as the work that is going into reforms to the EMSRB, as well as some innovations with pilot programs for Sprint medics. I anticipate that these may not travel exactly together, but I do feel that there's a bipartisan coalescing from the EMS task force around those various provisions, and that's why we're sort of pushing these all towards the floor. So I can't answer exactly what that will look like, but I do feel as though there is bipartisan agreement that there are multiple approaches that need to be taken.
Herding cats, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further hands raised, we have the A5 amendment before us from Senator Housechild. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Housechild moves that Senate file 3886 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Finance. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. The motion prevails. I do hope this time that this is the final meeting of the Tax Committee. And and before we adjourn, I certainly want to thank everyone who has contributed to the work of this committee. I don't have a list of names to go through, but it includes, of course, all of our staff and both parties and the nonpartisan staff, our faithful and competent pages, and just ever so grateful for all the work you do. And today, especially, I would like to recognize Senator Klein, because this afternoon he's going to be attending a bill signing ceremony for the first bill of which he is the chief author. So we are very, very proud of him, and wish him well as he goes off to where, First Avenue or someplace? First Avenue, while we're stuck here. Hopefully not listening to the tax bill at that time. anyway, congratulations. Congratulations, Senator Klein. And we're all busy people, and we have people to see and things to do. And on that note, the committee is adjourned.